this Sunday comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, in this after Easter, the lessons, at least for a little while, are post-resurrection appearances. And so we have, last week we heard of John in the upper room and Thomas. And then, you know, this one in Luke, we have, this is right after the walk to Emmaus, where there was a couple of the disciples that were walking to a neighboring town, and they were joined by a third person that they didn't recognize. And when they got to the other town, he sat down with them, broke bread, and they went, oh, wait a minute, this guy's Jesus. And then they ran all the way back to tell the disciples what they had experienced. And this is how the story continues. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be with you. They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, why are you frightened and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I, myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, have you anything to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. What is it about fish? One of the other stories, if in John, one of the other post-resurrection stories that we don't hear in this year is the guys don't know what else to do with their life, so they go back to Galilee and they go back to fishing. And they see Jesus and he's cooking breakfast and they're so excited that they, you know, Peter jumps in and swims all the way ashore. And then, you know, they had to haul in this huge net of 153 fish. Obviously, they're fishermen because they're exact. And they were large fish. You know, they were this big, you know. What is it about fish? Now, I have a friend of mine who commented that the reason why there's still this fixation with fish has everything to do with the fact that Peter wasn't sure that this whole Pope thing was going to work out, so he wanted a fallback job. So he made sure he's in here, have some fish. You know, have some fish. I know, there's something fishy about that story, but we go with it. Now, many of you know that my son has interest in movies and would like to appear in a movie and would like to act, right? You'd like to be an actor. Well, I tried it out once. I just, you know, because I wanted to see what it was like so I can help him in this stuff. I auditioned for a role in a fishing movie. You know, I thought it was appropriate, but I wasn't in the cast. It was a real disappointment. It didn't even give me one line. So now back to school. The jig is up and the lure of Hollywood is fading. From my perch, that seemed to work rather well. Don't carp on my jokes. I know, we'll just stop there. Before you put my head on a pike. Yes, fishing seems to be an issue in the church. Fishing seems to be something Jesus is about. But what is it about him wanting fish? Maybe it has something to do with the fact of everything else he shows last week and this week. His hands in his side. He's showing us something. He wants us to see something. He wants us to know something. Now, here's the thing. Have you ever heard a fishy line before? Something along the lines of, not this, bless you. Now back to the line. Have you ever been told this, or maybe even said this, to someone who's gone through a really bad situation? Well, I went through something like that, and I turned out all right, and you're just going to have to suck it up, keep going, all that kind of stuff. If you went through something truly awful, and you see someone else going through something similar that was awful, and your response is basically, well, if I did it, you got to do it. I'll give you a hint, you didn't turn out all right. Because if your response to someone else who's going through something terrible is, well, good, I did it too. This isn't a club. Or how about this? Well, here's another response. You keep going through it because it builds character. Ah, so you've heard this before. Builds character. We all know that being cynical, nasty, and mean is some people's character. Is that something we're supposed to build to? Right? We're not supposed to build to that, are we? That's kind of a fishy line, isn't it? Basically, suck it up, buttercup, deal with it. You had a rough go? Well, I had a rough go. And since I had a rough go, you should too. Remember the golden rule. Do unto others as it has been done unto you. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Because it isn't. It isn't. Did Jesus tell us that, well, since I was crucified, you should be crucified too? After all, it builds character. No? Yes, he did say, you know, I can see some of you going, but wait a minute, Pastor. He did say to take up a cross and follow. Yes, he did say take up a cross and follow. Did he say get on the cross? Again, the more we make it about what we do, the less it's about what he did. And if it's about us, you know, Jesus did not just go and look at us from above in heaven and go, man, sucks to be you. Someone should really do something about that. He got involved. He got in. He got here. And yes, there were those wounds. There was a consequence to his choice. How many of us have scars? Physical, mental, emotional? All of us should have our hands up. By that point in time, things that happened to us that were consequences of our actions, freely chosen. But I bet you there's also a whole bunch of those things that were the consequences of other people's choices, of which you had no choice on the matter. They happened to you. Well, you know, I had a rough childhood, and if you had a rough childhood, I turned out all right. Fishy line number two. It is what it is. It is what it is. You know, there is some truth to the statement. It is what it is, because there are certain things in our lives, in our world, in which we have very little control. Husbands, are there things your wife does that you wish she wouldn't do?
No.
Wives, do your husband do something that you wish he didn't do? Spouses, look at your partners. How's that going for ya? How much change has been done? My wife, when she was a high school counselor years ago, used to tell the girls that she counseled, do yourself a favor, pick the ones whose quirks are the least annoying, because cute fades. Cute will go away. It'll be a while for you, Luca. But cute will fade, and then you're stuck with the quirks without the cute. But let's face it, you have zero control. and that's your spouse. All right? It is what it is. But if it becomes nothing more than a fatalistic comment where you wash your hands and go, eh, then guess what? I guess things happened to you that built character. And that was cynical, pessimistic, and do not wish to engage. And again, Jesus didn't look down from heaven and go, sucks to be you. He took on this form. He took on this flesh. The humanity of the world he took on with all of its frailties. Because yes, he did take up that cross, and yes, we did nail him to it. And we killed him. And yet he didn't stay dead. The Word that became flesh and dwelt amongst us, came to us, stayed with us, and rose again from the dead, even when we thought it is what it is, he's dead. No. The gift of Easter is the gift of new life. It's the gift of knowing that love wins. Reconciliation is possible, even with the wounds, even with the traumas, even with, there is hope for healing that doesn't just rehash or repeat. You know, again, if you wish the world would change, but you don't want to change, then guess what? The world ain't going to change. Because the only person you have control of in that entire situation is you. It is what it is, does not need to be. The power of new life comes. Not a rehash, not a repeat. And that new life comes in a way that is surprising, because it is quite possible that through the wounds and the scars and the things that you carry within your own body, within your own psyche, within your own soul, might be the ways in which you can work with someone else to bring them to healing, to bring them to hope, so that they can see the fact that new life is indeed possible. Right? New life is possible. I think Frederick Buechner once said that the birth of a child is a reminder that God hasn't given up hope on the world. Do you know that we're all children of God? And that every day we get up and we can be reborn. That new life is yours. The ability to be different, to rise again because of the forgiveness that goes out to all the world. Because of the one who did not just look back and say, eh. But the one who came to show us that love will win. That reconciliation is a gift, and the ability to start over is for all the world, so that we can love our neighbor as ourselves. Maybe because we'll stop for a second, and maybe in that gift of forgiveness, just maybe we'll remember that we're loved and that we can love the other. Even with our wounds, even with our scars, even with the choices and the consequences of everything that was before, that isn't what remains. And that we're called to be a part of this proclamation. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Lutheran pastor and theologian, his anniversary of his martyrdom was just this past week. Dietrich Bonhoeffer made the comments out of his life and following Jesus. He said, our job is not merely to bind the wounds caused by the crushing wheel, but to spike the crushing wheel itself. Desmond Tutu later made the observation and said, it's one thing to keep pulling people out of the river, but it's also important for us to go upstream and find out why people keep falling in. New life. It is what it is. No, it isn't. The gift of love, hope, and new life is ours. The gift of grace to start over, to try again, and to proclaim, even with our scars, that new life is. And remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.